Thank you for tuning in to Bethel Lutheran Church's weekly sermon. Bethel is located in Howard City, Michigan on M46, just 2 miles east of US 131, exit 120. I'm Pastor Towns, and I thank you for listening today. And the sermon title is, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Our scripture lesson is Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11, and it reads, Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, Again it is written, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these I will give you, if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our dear Lord and Savior, who is Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, the Great Reformation hymn written by Martin Luther is a perfect one for the first Sunday in Lent. Lent is that time of the year when we take a very personal look at just how sinful we are and, thankfully, how loving our gracious God. Everything Christ did, He did for us. As I've spoken about before, He took on our human flesh for us. He was circumcised for us. He was baptized for us. And He was tempted for us in order that when we ourselves are tempted, we can rest assured that we're battling a defeated enemy. Jesus withstood every temptation and every evil arrow shot at him with you and me in his heart. To that end, I'll ask you to open up your hymnals to page 657 and keep your finger there as we will sing the hymn, A Mighty Fortress, one verse at a time throughout the sermon. In our gospel lesson for today, we learn about the devil's craftiness. Jesus is led out into the wilderness by the Spirit in order to be armed to fight Satan. He travels there with the intention of being tempted and then overcoming it and paving the way for us to journey through our own wilderness of temptation in this life. The cruel oppressor, that satanic foe, will be no equal for our Savior, but he's going to hit Jesus at a very personal level using the Lord's hunger as a weapon. Christ, who is fully human in order to sympathize with our weaknesses, felt hunger just as he felt pain and rejection, and yet he never sinned. Where you and I would crumble under pressure and would give in to temptation, Jesus stood firm. He stood upon the infallible word, and where the devil desires to kill and to destroy, Christ desires to comfort and to save. He is our rock and our fortress. In times of trial and temptation, we turn to him who willingly took our sins to the cross of Mount Calvary. We sing verse 1. A mighty fortress is our God, a sword and shield victorious. He breaks the cruel oppressor's rod and wins salvation glorious. The old satanic foe has sworn to work us woe with craft and dreadful might. He arms himself to fight. On earth he has no equal. As I mentioned previously, Christ was tempted for us. He went into battle with the devil to defeat him in order that you and I would not be left as Satan's little playthings dangling on a string like some puppet. Jesus is our champion. Around the 14th century, if a king was challenged to battle, he could have another stronger and more skilled warrior fight in his place. That warrior was called the champion. This is Christ who came to battle Satan in the tempter's home arena. As the bell rings for the opening round of this fight, the devil says, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Our Lord counters with, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God," effectively saying, "Satan, I don't obey you. I live by the word." And we know, of course, that word is Christ himself, who became flesh and blood, just so he could fight evil in our place and kill our sin. Christ's victory over death and the grave is ours. This first temptation is of Jesus regarding himself. Satan comes upon the Lord after 40 days of fasting and tempts him to do something for himself. The Father has not prohibited Christ from eating, and eating itself is not a sin. If Jesus truly is the Son of God, that is, the Lord of hosts, then he can use his miraculous powers to turn stones into bread. So Satan tempts him to use his divine power to care for himself. But Jesus didn't come into this world for self-care. He came to care for you. His power would be made known in his weakness as he offered his life for you. So Jesus reveals that he lives by self-denial. He rules his life by denying himself in order that he might give all he has for you. We sing verse 2. No strength of ours can match his might. We would be lost, rejected. But now a champion comes to fight, whom God himself elected. You ask who this may be. The Lord of hosts is he, Christ Jesus, mighty Lord, God's only Son adored. He holds the field victorious. Satan wants us badly. You see, misery just loves company. Satan's been defeated by our champion, who, of course, is Jesus. He is the one little word that subdued the devil and all his imps. Still, as Satan tried to pull Jesus away from his suffering upon the cross, and as he tried to trick the Lord into abusing his own godly powers, so he will continue to attack us, and he'll use every dirty trick in the book. The tempter knows what buttons to push to drag you into his clutches. It might be sex. That nails a lot of people as he causes them to desire someone to whom they are not married. He splashes naked bodies across our television screens and iPads in hopes that we'll give in to that allure. He confuses sexuality, causing men to think they're women and women to think they're men, or for us to carnally desire the same sex. This seems to be the sin du jour. He leads us into thinking that we need more money, more power, more popularity, even at the cost of staying faithful to the Lord. He traps us in gossiping or lying or self-righteousness, thinking that we are somehow better than all those others. And, frankly, we enjoy being trapped. It's like we've stepped in a big pile of Satan and it stuck to our shoes. So with that mess clinging to us, we tend to forget how to properly worship Jesus and all he did for us. The second temptation is regarding the Lord's role as Israel's Savior. Israel had long struggled with seeing, believing, and properly worshiping her God. Satan tempts Jesus to place himself on the highest point of the temple, the tippy top, so he's in view of all Israel to cast himself down. By doing this, he'll reveal himself as the Son of God, for God the Father will deliver him. He'll send his holy angels to rescue him, lest he dash his foot against a stone. In this way, Satan implies Israel will finally see and worship her God. But Jesus will not rule Israel by a display of power. Instead, he'll rule over Israel in his weakness. Battered, bruised, and bloodied, he'll die on the cross underneath a sign which says, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Jesus will be Israel's Messiah, not by falling down from the temple, but by raising a new one. And he'll build that temple on his death and resurrection, the very foundation of God's love, which restores all things by removing the devil's stench that clings to us. We sing verse 3. The hordes of devils fill the land, all threatening to devour us. We tremble not, unmoved we stand. They cannot overpower us. Let this world's tyrant rage, in battle we'll engage. His might is doomed to fail. God's judgment must prevail. One little word subdues him. The third temptation concerns Jesus' role as the Lord of the nations. Satan takes Jesus to a high mountain and reveals to him all the kingdoms of the world. He tells Jesus that he will give all of these to the Lord if Jesus falls down and worships him. Indeed, Jesus has come to rule the nations, but he'll do this by submitting to his Father's will, not Satan's. He'll be the Lord of all nations when he receives them from his Father's hand. His death will take the punishment for all sin, for all people, for all time. And his resurrection will bring life and restoration to all things, even our lives. By bowing to the will of his Father, he'll rise to bring the news of salvation to the ends of the earth. Jesus will one day stand on a mountain and send out his disciples in God's mission to make disciples of all nations by baptizing them and by teaching them and bringing the good news of salvation to the ends of the earth. Today, at the beginning of Lent, we remember the very beginning of Jesus' ministry when he was tempted by Satan. In that temptation, Jesus has revealed the mystery of his kingdom and how he didn't come to save himself and become an earthly monarch. Rather, he came to sacrifice himself so that he might accomplish his Father's will and bring us to experience the full extent of God's love. Therefore, all that this world holds for us, our goods, honor, children, and spouse, will not gain eternity for us. Only the work of Jesus upon the cross will do that. We sing the final verse. God's word forever shall abide, no thanks to foes who fear it. For God himself fights by our side with weapons of the Spirit. Were they to take our house, goods, honor, child, or spouse, though life be wrenched away, they cannot win the day. The kingdom ours forever. This mystery of Jesus standing in our place, which is revealed at the very beginning of Christ's ministry, is what we'll continue to contemplate more clearly as we travel throughout the season of Lent. However, as we journey the 40 days toward the Lord's suffering and death, let us not forget his resurrection and ascension. For it's in these things, it's in his victory over the grave, that he truly becomes and remains our mighty fortress. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds on Christ Jesus, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.